Hey, it's Thomas and the Bible, episode 51, Joshua, chapter 7, and Joshua is almost making me believe in God just because of how much better he is than Moses. It's such a shortfall there, like it's such a massive gap. I can only believe, you know, God of the gaps. Like I can only believe that God is the one who created that massive gap between Joshua and Moses. There's no way, nothing else could. No, science cannot explain how bad Moses was and how much better Joshua is. I mean, Joshua's, it's still the Bible. Don't get me wrong; it's terrible. But so it's like I read the Joshua now, and I don't want to just kill myself. Like I can actually, there's a story. Like things are happening. It's cool. So, Joshua 7. Just a quick note before I get started. Got another review on iTunes, and I'm just very happy about it, and thank you guys so much. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. No number of reviews is enough, ever, so keep them coming. I'm just wanting people, you know, just wanting it to get out there so people can see it and all that, and it's growing, and it's great, and I love it. It's cool. I'm glad, I'm really glad people seem to enjoy it. You know, I didn't necessarily know that would be true. I just thought I'd give it a try and see what happened. But it seems like at least a small number of people are enjoying it. So I'm really glad to do it. But the least you can do is just write a review on iTunes. Come on, take it 2 minutes. I'll never hassle you personally about it again. I'll still make announcements, but I won't like personally call you and hassle you about it. Like you can consider yourself exempt if you've written a review from all my announcements. But if you haven't, then you cannot. So that's what you get. Okay, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, I know this sounds like a non sequitur because it started with "but the children of Israel committed," but actually, if you go back and read the last sentence of the last chapter, like it's not, it's just as bad. So it says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all this country." And then that's the end of that chapter. And then it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." It's like, what does thing refer to? I don't know. It's one of those biblical tricks. It's basically the accursed thing, I guess, if you go back and look, is that they're not supposed to take anything of the plunder, you know, like they're supposed to melt it all down and all that. So that's the accursed thing, apparently. I guess you're supposed to just know that. I don't know. Anyway. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to... Okay, this city is pronounced, is just spelled A-I, capital A, little I. Like, I'm going to call it I. I. That seems reasonable. I don't feel like looking it up. That's not a piece of knowledge I want to even spend any brain resources knowing. Like, if it might be A, or it might be like A-I or something, who cares? I'm going to call it I, which is beside Bethaven. On the east side of Bethel, in case you guys are driving there anymore, anytime soon, and spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And so I love how that's that verse. That's the whole thing there. I love how the Bible doesn't even try to explain any of this. I had to read that. You have the benefit of having someone like me explain this. No, maybe all you are much smarter than I am. You'd get it instantly reading it. But I sometimes have to read through these sentences several times because they're so unclear. It just said, so there went up thither of the people of about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And it's like, wait, like, I get it, I guess, but I think just because I'm used to, you know, like a person would talk to you, they would probably give you a little more than that. It's just one sentence. It's all one sentence. So they went up and fled before the men. Not like, so they went up but found the men of Ai to be surprisingly well organized, so they were forced to retreat, or something like that. Or, you know, it turned out to be a little more than they thought, so they had to retreat. No, it just says, so they went up thither and they fled. It's like, just really abrupt. But anyway, you know, it's just another one of the many little ways God finds to punish us for trying to understand or even just follow along with what's happening in his perfect book. Just another little booby trap there. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they were chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Not sure why he did that. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." This is starting to sound like the, I wish we'd stayed in Egypt. Would that we stayed in Egypt so we could just die there? Like, yeah, but not quite as bad. This is still better than that. This is not anywhere near, like, Moses level bad. But still, he's sort of complaining. Oh, why'd we even cross this Jordan? Continuing. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? So Joshua's concerned for the Lord's well-being, which is it's such a funny concept when you think, oh, what's going to happen to you, God, if they kill us? Like, who's going to carry on your legacy? Could you imagine, like, if there actually was an all-powerful being, how funny that must be to him? Like, you're worried about me? I made you out of, like, crap and dirt, and you're just a turd, and, like, you'll die in 2 minutes, but you're worried about me. That's nice of you, but still funny. Anyway. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also." A lot of alsos there. "And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." So God's saying, like, somebody took stuff, and that's why you're being punished. And that's one possible explanation. That's not really possible. We'll just grant, for the sake of argument, one possible explanation. Another possibility is maybe the fact that Joshua only sent 3,000 men to defeat an entire city. You know, like, maybe... Did the thought run through his head that maybe he should, I don't know, just go ahead and send more people, you know? Like, maybe that was to blame, you know? What if you sent in one guy and, like, he just was killed? And you're like, oh, what did we do wrong? Well, at least try sending more people in before you, blame God for it. Or say, you know, start looking for things you did wrong. Maybe just give it one more go with, like, I don't know, 10,000 people. I love also, I mentioned earlier, I love how he's despairing. Oh my God, what do we do? We're going to die. And it mentions they only lost 36 people. Oh no, what do we do to deserve this? Meanwhile, they're slaughtering entire societies left and right. Like, 32 people, gosh, what did we do to offend God? Were we not killing enough people? We had to lose 32 people. Maybe he should just isolate his variables a little bit before he just jumps to a conclusion. And, you know, it's perfect because you know what's going to happen. You already know. He's going to say, like, hey, all right, we prayed to God and found out that we had done something wrong, so we fixed that and sent an additional 20,000 people. And it worked! It was, wouldn't you know it, it was just because we had to pray. Like, okay, yeah, sure. That's one way of going about it, I guess. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies. I added a few of this, but not too many. Most of those were there. Until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord taketh shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord taketh shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with this accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed this covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son, or Achan, or something, who cares, son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, I'll say, or Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian, that's a tough one, Babylonish garg... Okay, collect thyself. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish... this is impossible. Babylonish. It looks like a different word every time. Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of Babylonish silver. Like, what if everything he took had Babylonish before it? And a Babylonish wedge of Babylonish gold and 50 Babylonish shekels of Babylonish weight units. Then I coveted them. And Babylonish took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, which is also Babylonish, and the silver under it. Okay, so wow, this was first guess. Like, I don't know if I or you could really fully understand the process that just took place, but it seems like Moses just picked a tribe, and then from those tribes he picked a family, and then from the family a household, then like a person, and then just asked, and apparently that guy did it. It's like, so I guess, I don't know, Joshua's having some... Oh, did I say Moses? I think I said Moses. I'm just in the habit. Whoops. Joshua had some divine help, I'm sure. But, or maybe more likely, maybe almost everyone in the entire of all the Israelites actually just, like, took some treasure and from the last city they wiped out. So it really was just a matter of odds that anyone he picked would probably have stolen something. So he just picks this guy and everyone's like, you did what? It was him. Oh, what? Color me surprised. I had no idea. Why? In our tribe, in our very own tribe, someone was stealing gold and silver from... No, everyone knows you're supposed to leave that there. I mean, duh. That's outrageous. So that's probably what happened. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, and the horse it rode in on. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedges of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Josh said, why hast thou troublest? Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Wow. Okay. So it sounds like this guy and even his whole family were murdered. and burned. So what a great time. What a great time they lived in. I know I've said this a million different ways, a million different times, but let me just tack it from maybe possibly a different angle. Why did God bother with us going through these like terrible dark ages where we were just friggin' idiots who killed each other for no reason? Couldn't he have just created us in a state of like decent knowledge about the world? You know, I'm not saying, you know, leave some stuff for us to figure out, but what if we were all born with, 19th century knowledge of science and the world and stuff? It would at least have been better, you know? Because really, we're just a bunch of monkeys killing each other. Stupid. Also, one other point. What did Joshua say to this guy to get him to confess? Well, I guess we have what he said, but I mean, how did that work? Normally it's like, okay, look, if you come clean now, I'll talk to the judge, see what I can do. Maybe we can give you some jail time, or, you know, maybe just tabernacle cleaning duty forever. You know, maybe we'll try to just admit it, and, you know, we'll see that you're not, you know, we'll kind of take care of you. But here it was like, would you please confess so that we can murder you and your entire family and burn you and all your things? The guy was like, well, yeah, when you put it that way, okay, you got me. I did it. What was in it for him? I wonder, is there a reason in the universe why he wouldn't have just lied? Oh, no, somebody put that there. I didn't do that. It wasn't even me. That was somebody planted stuff under my tent. That's not mine. I have nothing to do with it. Wouldn't you? I mean, what? That's just why I wonder, when he announced that he was going to burn and stone them, why did the guy confess? There's no reason. Stupid. Where was I? Ah, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Didn't you know? So chapter 8, that's the end of that chapter. Oh, it's already so hot. I hate this weather. I like the cold. Oh, just a little aside while I load the next page. Chapter 8 of the Bible, the book of Joshua, King James Version. By Jesus Christ. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. See, I have given... I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So, as you notice, he said, take all the people of war. God says, take all the people of war with thee. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor. Holy shit. And sent them away by night. So even with the benefit of having read this once before I just made that last comment, I still underguessed. 30,000, not 20,000. Jeez. So, yeah, maybe that will, you know, if they're successful, and I'm not going to claim to know what happens, because I'm just a man reading the Bible, but if they're successful this time, could it have anything to do with the fact that they, what do? They increased their manpower tenfold from 3,000 to 30,000, like, nah, it's because of God. That's probably what it is. That's what it is. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. Parentheses, for they will come out after us. In parentheses, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. See, Señor, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh, and came before the city, and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of their valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, and he and all his people at a time appointed, before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. You know, I'm sorry, guys. I just thought of something. I'm going to go a little... Oh, can I set that up? I wonder if I can set that up. Let's see here. What if I do... I just thought of something that I really want to play for you guys. I don't know if you're familiar with Reddit atheism. I hope you are. I think I can set this up to work. I just thought of this while I was reading that boring chapter, or that boring selection. And I want to see if I can play it. It's worth it. Just something a little different for my little podcast. What channel is that? I just got to find the right channel. This is fantastic podcasting. Oh, this is the greatest. Okay. I'm going to do this. Okay. Oh. It's working.
Stephen says, growing up on the mean streets of West Philadelphia,
Okay. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just thought of it. I needed to get this out of my system because it was making me laugh while I was trying to read. This is like a Christian call-in show or a video call-in, like, you know, TV. It's not radio, it's TV, but just listen to this. It's only a minute. I don't know why I'm doing this, but it just to change it up.
Stephen says, growing up on the mean streets of West Philadelphia, I never dreamed that I would even be able to own TV equipment to view a channel such as yours. What made this all possible for me was the loving embrace of my auntie stationed in Bel Air. It was there that I first caught a glimpse of your channel and knew from that moment on that my circle of trusted faces had grown substantially. Upon one of my many visits back to West Philadelphia before the recession hit, I visited the playground where I spent most of my days shooting some basketball, but also just chilling out and relaxing.
I don't think that story is genuine. I think the guy's a clown. He's a joker. He's been sending that material to all the programs.
All right, okay, well, let's delete him. Okay. And we'll permanently delete him from the from the list.
Apparently, the story is, you know, what he's been sending through is the story of the Prince of Bel-Air, the black guy.
Oh, yes, I know, yes. You know. Okay, please pray for my cousin Carlton and my uncle Phil, who have both been having a very hard time finding jobs. Thank you so much, Will. So that's for Carlton and Phil. Who are having trouble?
Oh, I love it.
Jobs. Let's see.
You couldn't write that any better. I just love how the guy. I didn't see that coming. Where the guy knew what it was, like this like African guy who somehow knows that, like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and he's like, I think this is a joke, and then she's like, can you pray for Uncle Carlton? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I just was inspired to do that. I'm not... Sorry, okay. It's a little, you know, just want to change pace a little bit and take a little break from all this Bible. You know, just to remind us there's some good things in this world. I'm not, you know, that was relatively harmless, so I can laugh at it. I'm not a big fan of anything too trolly with religion or any sort of harassment or anything, but that was relatively harmless and hilarious, so I... anyway, where the hell was I? Let's see. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. Sorry, I just got to click a thing. Okay. He and all his people at the time appointed before the plain, but he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. So in case you haven't followed or you forgot, because how hilarious that friggin' prank call about Fresh Prince was, the Joshua and the Israelites are doing a little surprise attack where they're going to pretend that they're just a small army, and then they're going to run away, and then everybody's going to follow them, and then they're going to burn the city from the inside. So that's their plan. Really honorable. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way. See, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about here. And fled by way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. So I love this part. There wasn't a single man left in the city, it says. Like, hey, king, the Israel, they're running away. Should we, but we're chasing them. Should we leave people to guard the city? Should we leave anyone just, what? No way. Everyone run out just wildly, as fast and hard as we can, as though there's no tomorrow or no city for us to get back to. Just pretend, you know. Just hypothetically, just pretend that there's not even a city here that you're coming back to, and go chase them. And get every last one of these two or three men that must make up the entire Israelite army, I'm guessing. It must be all of them. In fact, you know, someone, hey, give me my sword. Can you? I'm going out too, and we're all going to go. We need every man out there, because just to get these two or three Israelites, we're going to kill them, because that's got to be all of them. There can't possibly be any more of them. And it says they left the city open. So it must have been like, hey, okay, king, we're on our way, but should we, do we want to lock up the city before we leave, just in case, or... Oh, nah. You know what? I already left the keys in the bedroom, the keys to the city. So it's too late. Anyway, it's too late. So, well, we'll only be gone a minute or two. It'll be totally fine. Well, no one's going to come. Just close the city so it looks like it's locked, you know, just sort of close it and maybe like kind of put the lock together-ish, but not all the way. And then it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Get them. Let's go. And so that's how there wasn't a single man left, apparently, to guard the city. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand towards Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. Ammon set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, and they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way, or the other way, or another way, or up or down or diagonally. And the people that fled into the wilderness turned back upon their pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the... The king must have been like, what? Wait a minute. How could this have happened? My battle plan was absolutely foolproof. There's no possible way. Send everyone out to one place. But that's textbook. Where did I go wrong? What did I... This can't be. All our thought on war and our war theory just must be wrong. I followed it to the letter. It says whenever you see a couple of Israelites running out, just make sure to send every man out there to get them. Ah, where did I go wrong? And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. I don't get it. So do people really, like, people who believe in this, are they really just celebrating this kind of thing? You know, like you're reading it to your kids. Yeah, kids. And that's when we completely murdered everyone in that city. The kids are like, cool, Dad. Like, is that how it goes? Is that what you do? You're happy about like murdering just thousands of people? Is that because God said so? That makes it happy? Like, and they were done with their work of killing everybody in the field. And it's like, God, screw you guys. Jerks. And so it was that I just don't understand that. It's horrible. There's no place for that. I can't pretend to know what people who believe in this religion, you know, actually think, if they actually even read this part, you know. But if they read it as though it's something good at all, then screw them, because that's terrible. It's just terrible. I wonder who all these people were that were just killed, just massacred, you know, like, I don't know. We'll never know. It's horrible. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord God, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. Peace offerings, that's classic. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Yeah, okay, he wrote upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses. There's, I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit right there, because I bet you anything, this is one of those projects where it just started off way too ambitiously. It was just like, to honor our God, I'm so excited that we just won this battle. I'm going to write the entire law of Moses on these big stones. A couple of weeks later. Hey, Joshua, I know you said the whole thing about, and it's really inspirational and everything, about wanting to write the entire law of Moses and everything, but I gotta tell you, you're on like Leviticus chapter 4, and we're out of stones. We've brought you every stone that's within reasonable carrying distance, and we're on the horn with some other towns right now to see if they have any more rocks, but to be honest, we're not exactly popular around these parts, so I don't know. Not sure if we can really. A couple hours later, Joshua addresses everyone, so he's like, so like I was saying, I'm going to write upon these stones the first couple chapters of Leviticus and half of verse 12 of chapter 3, and then that was what I was going to write in honor of our God and of Moses. I'm sure that's what happened. There's no friggin' way he actually did that. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on the side on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There is not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. No freaking way. Let me just explain what really happened. I think this was a case of Joshua just getting to the printer, to the printing press, before the first edition came out, and he's like, hey, remember this is probably a couple of years later. You know, remember a couple of years ago when you wrote here about how I read a couple of chapters of Moses until I just got so bored. I just physically wanted to gouge my eyes out, and I think I ended up puking a little, and I just got so bored that I stopped. He's like, yeah, that's awesome reading. I can't wait to print that. Joshua's like, yeah, I'm thinking maybe just for the good of, you know, our Lord and everything, just maybe if we, just not make anything up, but just sort of change those parts a little bit, just to emphasize different things is all. Not really. I'm not saying we're making anything up, but just change what words we emphasize. Just spare future generations this little tidbit, you know. Just say something like, and Joshua, you know, read all of Moses. Just say that. It's like, that's not even close to what happened. No, I'm just emphasizing different parts. I mean, I said I was going to do that, so just say that, except leave out the part where I said going to, and just say I did, because in a way, I did. So think about it. And so if he said that I just read it all, you know, it's true. It's not, nobody cares. Just do it. This is for the good of the Lord. Just, I know I tried to read just parts of it, and I stabbed myself with a pencil because I was so bored, but I think it'll just sound better. You know, it'll be better for their souls. They'll like the Bible a little better if I say that I read the entire, all of Moses, every word that he commanded. That just sounds more poetic. That's all. This is poetry. We're just taking a little license here. That's all it is. It's like, I don't know. I know that didn't actually happen because there was no one with any integrity that was like controlling this printing who was arguing with him. I just thought it'd be funny. That's something like what happened. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua in Israel, and with Israel with one accord, with one Honda Accord that they scraped together between them. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. I thought they were saying wily at first, but it says wilily. Is that how you spell wily? No, you'd think that would be... It's W-I-L-I-L-Y. Wilily. Wilily. Huh. Sorry, it threw me off. Wilily. And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us. A slow-pitch softball league. No, just probably a normal league. I don't know. And just to keep you up with what's happening, everybody around here is sort of getting sick of being killed. So they're like, maybe we should try to do something about that. So this is their plan. They're pretending that they're not from there so they can like make a softball league with them. Because what better for morale and for just getting along than a softball league. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And he said, well, I'm thinking 4-team divisions, maybe some double elimination playoffs at the end of the season, you know, basic, find a trophy or something to do. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they're like, I gotta warn you, Joshua's saying, like, we don't normally talk to people for too long without killing them. So speak fast and speak quickly and it better be good. You know, we're itching for some killing. You know, that's kind of what we do. You know, that's our thing. So hurry up or you're probably going to die. And they said unto them, from a very far, far country Thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day, out of their horses. Their horses actually make bread, they poop bread. We took this bread out of our horses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it's dry and it is moldy. And that must have been a little suspicious. Like, dude, when you meet people, you know, do you normally ask them, like, hey, where are you from? And they're like, well, we're not from here. I'll tell you that. We're from far away. And if you don't believe us, just look at this bread that I have right here. You know, it's, look at how dry it is. I mean, that, you know, when we set off, it was totally just moist and it was great. Came fresh out of the horse. You know, it was fantastic. You know, that's so we're definitely not from here. Just, you know, we're from far away. It's like, isn't that a little suspicious? when you normally just meet somebody and you ask them where they're from, they go, oh, out of town. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then you yawn right in their face because you're reading the Bible. And it's boring. Actually, like I said, this is just so exciting compared to Moses. So yeah, that's a little suspicious already. I mean, without any prompting, they're like, look, here's the proof that we're from out of town. and these bottles of wine, if that isn't enough proof for you. That's my air conditioner turned on. That's kind of loud in my ears. I don't know if that's loud in your... Anyway. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Yes, they were saying, like, well, I accept these unprovoked tokens of their fact that they're not from here. I don't know about you guys, but I accept it. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them and had already played the first few spring training games, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shepherah and Beeroth and Kirjatharim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God. By that guy. The Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. I'd love to hear that, too, by the way. I don't know what it is. Murmur. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Our hands are tied, they're saying. We can't kill them. We swore. They showed us all these proofs that they were not from here. So we believe them, and we swore. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be the hewers of wood and the drawers of water, which is awesome, because what we know as a drawer is just a drawer. Like, we just say drawer. Open the drawer. Hewers of wood and drawers of water. But that doesn't sound right, because they're drawing the water. So they're drawers. This is just not a word you're used to saying. Drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And this is the most reasonable thing anyone has said all Bible, because was Joshua really... Did he really just ask that? Did he... Joshua's like, look, I understand it's our God-given duty to massacre every man, woman, and child of these parts, but why on earth did you say you were from out of town? I'm just insulted by that. You lied to us. Yeah, that's what people are going to do when all your function in life is to kill them if they're from around here. Not so surprising that maybe they'd say, oh, well, we're not from here. We're from not here. Wherever here is, we're not from here. That's it's not really so surprising, Joshua. You can't quite figure that out. And then you're insulted. You're like, how dare you? It's like, yeah, okay. And now, behold, we are in thine hand as it seemeth good and right. Well, it's not going to be good and right. Good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so he did unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, but they slew them that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. So that's the end of the reading. So, wait. What about all that in the beginning, how, the beginning of this chapter, several cities were, like, planning how they could best deal with the Israelites, the problem of the Israelites killing everybody. And this was what they came up with? Not like, hey, guys, let's all join forces and just kill their army, or, you know, or if they couldn't do that, maybe, like, okay, if we plan this thing out tactically, you know, get some heavy weapons going, you know, maybe we might be able to take them down. Or just at least discourage them from attacking again. Nope. Literally, this was the best idea that they... The best idea at this meeting of minds was... Well, maybe if we dupe them into thinking we're not from around here... Hold on. Yes. Then they'll just... Yes, okay, I got it, guys. If we dupe them into thinking we're not from around here, they'll just make us their slaves forever, rather than kill us. And someone else, the chairman of the meeting was, I'm in. That sounds good. Sounds good. Good plan, Steve. That settles it. Okay, off we go. That's the plan we're going with. We're not going to think of a better one than that. Let's face it. It's like, in retrospect, while the Israelites were definitely terrible humans for what they did, the rest of the people were at least somewhat culpable for letting it happen. I mean, come on. Just, this is your big plan? You're going to have dried bread and be like, look, the bread is dry. How could it be unless we are from out of town? Like, that's it? That's what you come up with? Come on. Assassinate Joshua or something. Do something productive. That's just terrible. Terrible. Do they not understand what's at stake here? Anyway. All right, that's the end of the reading. A little shorter than normal, but the next chapter is really long, so I didn't want to like take on a whole another huge long chapter, so that's it. But as usual, thank you so much for reviewing and listening, and I'll see you guys for episode 52.